Chapter 22. Lingering Doubts. A group of people made their way along to the marina towards the houseboat. It was led by Daniel Geller, along with Rufus, his mother Arabelle, plus Clive and Vincent Trenslow, the Adventure Society official with the grandiose moustache. With them was a gold rank priest from the Church of the Healer, freshly portaled into the city.
"How is he?"
Daniel asked. It had been a little more than a week since Jason had been returned home.
"He was asleep for 4 days," Clive said. "Those medical potions of Jory's defer the need for healing recovery, which is impressive. But once it hit him hard."
"Unsurprising," the priest of the healer said. His name was Carlos, a broad-shouldered and swarthy man. His features had the polished perfection that was universal at gold rank. His clothes were not the robes of the healer, but a casual outfit. The brown colour and plain cut were reminiscent of the Church of the Healer's humble clerical wear, however. Only once they had lost their way did the healer's local clergy move into ostentatious variations.
"Even in the case of cultists who are accepting of it," Carlos continued, "introducing a starseed to the body is deeply traumatic. Removing it is even worse."
"I saw a starseed removed before it was rendered inert," Daniel said. "It wasn't traumatic. It was a meat grinder."
"Sadly true," Carlos said. "People were lost all over before we figured out who the cult was and what they were doing. From what you've told me about the situation here, you seem to figure things out before the Adventure and Magic Societies disseminated the information widely."
"Clive here is largely responsible for that," Daniel said.
Clive looked sheepish.
"While we may have a better idea of what we're doing now," Carlos said, "we aren't always successful in helping the people the cult has implanted. Even when they're inert, extricating starseeds can be lethal without continuous healing. If your friend really managed it on his own, with a suppression collar around his neck, that's deeply impressive. What has he been doing since he woke up?"
"He's been under self-imposed house arrest, at my suggestion," Daniel said.
"He's been on the roof deck of the houseboat for days," Rufus said. "He got up, had breakfast, and went up there 3 days ago. I don't think he's come back down since. He's just been up there, meditating the whole time."
"It's very likely that he's aura training," Carlos said. "In cases of soul trauma, practicing aura control can help re-establish the sense of self. Many people realize this instinctively, while others we strongly suggest it too. Actually having the instruction in aura manipulation beforehand is obviously a tremendous help."
They arrived at the houseboat. Vincent told the Adventure Society official stationed on the dock that he could go. One way or another, Jason would no longer be under confinement.
"He must be inside," Daniel said. "I don't sense his aura at all."
"He's up top," Rufus's mother, Arabelle, said.
She tilted her head, as if straining to hear something, then frowned.
"His aura isn't retracted," she said. "It's suppressed."
Using her gold rank strength, she vaulted directly up to the roof of the houseboat. Danielle had the others all touch one another in a chain connection, ending in her, and teleported them up. They found Jason sitting peacefully, in a cross-legged meditation pose with a suppression collar around his neck. He opened his eyes as they arrived on the rooftop.
"Jason," Clive asked in horror, "what are you doing with that collar?"
This close, they could all feel the suppressive power of the collar with their own aura senses. They were all startled as Jason's aura emerged from within it, pushing it back. He took a key from his storage space, unlocking the collar and putting it and the collar away.
"Aura training," Jason said, pushing himself lightly to his feet.
"Fascinating," Carlos said. "The ability to counter the magic suppression with aura is a phenomenon that I've heard of, but never actually thought I'd see."
"I didn't know that something like that was even possible," Rufus said.
"Extreme soul trauma can prompt some unusual reactions," Carlos said. "From time to time, some unscrupulous researcher will attempt to study it. They'll take essence users and subject them to all manner of soul torture to try and figure out a process by which to reliably gain special soul effects.
The cost in misery and lives is unconscionable. It's all for nothing as well, because the research never goes anywhere. The most anyone had ever achieved was a few people with enhanced resistance to order suppression, and a lot of people who died in agony.
I've heard of instances like that, Clive said.
Soul trauma is actually my specialty field of healing, Carlos said. I've seen more victims of these atrocities than anyone, and I've come to my own conclusion. The soul withstanding the trauma and growing isn't about the process, but the person.
Don't I feel special? Jason said, flatly. Do you have a name, soul trauma expert?
Sorry, I'm being rude. Carlos Guilido, Church of the Healer.
Jason looked at him coldly. You're here to decide my fate?
I'm here to help you, Carlos said,
showing no signs of being affected by Jason's rudeness.
If you truly don't have a starseed in you, I'm here to prove that definitively and excise any lingering doubts. If you do have one inside you, I'm here to excise it.
Jason frowned unhappily. You're right, I'm sorry, he said. It's just that I've been awaiting judgment for days.
I completely understand, Carlos said. I have some experience with people in similar circumstances to yours. Because of my specialty, the Church and the Adventure Society have had me traveling around to work with people who've had star seeds extracted from them. For the most part, the cult only implants their own members, but they will implant them in others when it serves their purposes. You aren't the first in this city to endure that, I understand. The Church of Purity first developed the extraction techniques, but we, the Church of the Healer, have taken over that task.
I've never understood why Purity's clergy would do that, if they're secretly working with the cult, Rufus said. Because the best way to hide a secret alliance is under the guise of an enemy, Jason said.
Exactly, Danielle agreed. The implanting of starseeds in non-members of the cult has always been a distraction from their actual goals. That is as true everywhere else as it was here.
I have a question about the people who were implanted and had them removed, Jason said to Carlos. It sounds like you might have the answer, if you don't mind.
Certainly, Carlos said.
The people who implanted me, Jason said, they told me that once you let the seed into the soul, the Builder has you. For good. That once you open that door, you're done. It makes me wonder about the people who have had the seeds extracted.
My understanding is that it was not the cult that implanted you. It sounds like whoever these people were, their information about the star seeds was not complete.
It is true that the Builder imprints itself on the soul of those who relinquish access. Without the star seed as a channel, however, the Builder cannot exert control. As best we can understand, the people in question do truly regain themselves, although obviously very changed for the experience. Not to cheapen your experiences, but they suffered and were changed even more than you. Unfortunately, they were damaged more than you as well.
I can imagine, Jason said. I feel like a different person, and my soul wasn't breached. If I'd opened that door.
Quite, Carlos said. There is a rather disturbing trend we have discovered of people previously implanted feeling a compulsion left behind by the Builder.
What kind of compulsion? Jason asked.
To seek out another starseed. There seems to be a longing for the power it promised. Most resist that urge, knowing how self-destructive it is. Some of them no longer have the will to resist and give in to it. We have them all watched now, including the ones here in Greenstone. I understand one local was lost before that protocol was put in place.
It's unconfirmed, Danielle said. But yes, the son of a friend.
It's strange feeling sorry for Thadwick, Jason said. So, you're some kind of big deal, Mr. Quillado.
I wouldn't say that, and please call me Carlos. I just have a specialty that is tragically useful in these unfortunate times. Annabelle and I have worked together in the past, and she contacted me after what happened to you.
Jason shared an apologetic smile between Carlos and Arabelle. You came all this way to help, and I was rude to you from the moment we met.
Seriously? Clive asked. all this time and you apologize to this guy?
I don't understand, Carlos said.
Don't mind Clive, Jason said. He's been crabby ever since I slept with his wife.
I don't have a wife.
Yeah, I'm a homewrecker, Jason said winsomely, turning to look off into the middle distance. When you're down with the OPP, that's the life you live.
What are you even looking at? Clive asked.
I feel like I'm missing something, Carlos said.
Get used to that feeling, Rufus said. I think we just found out that it's the real Jason in there.
What is it that Humphrey says? If you don't understand what Jason is talking about, he's probably up to something, Clive said. If you do know what Jason's talking about, he's definitely up to something.
Returning to normal behavior is a good sign, Carlos said. Whatever normal behavior means. Do not underestimate the impact of these events, however. Essence users are mentally resilient by nature as a survival mechanism. The damage is not gone, however, merely forestalled. If the seed was resisted, we would expect to see behavior consistent with trauma emerging over time. There will be permanent changes. Soul damage is something that marks you forever.
We would expect to see? Jason said, echoing Carlos's words. Surely I'm not the only one to resist a seed implantation.
No, Carlos said. We know of at least 6 instances, but there are doubtless more. Under normal circumstances, star seeds of the Builder are implanted by cultists of the Builder. If a seed is rejected, it generally kills the person. If they survive, the cult kills them. The unusual circumstances of your implantation have allowed to you to escape without the cult killing you by simple virtue of their absence. I am curious how you purged the seed from your body and survived without assistance.
It wasn't without assistance, Jason said. My familiar heals me. He worked like a trooper to keep me alive.
I would be fascinated to examine it.
Jason's face froze. You can prod and poke me all you like, he said in a voice of hard granite. You come after Colin, though, and I don't care who sent you or what rank you are. I will find a way to kill you. The temperature dropped as everyone fell silent at Jason's sudden turn. The group looked nervous at the revelation that Jason's return to his old self was a constructed facade. Rufus thought back to Jason's first days in the city, where his vulnerability was likewise hidden behind his over-the-top personality. Only Carlos seemed unfazed by the outburst.
Understood, he said. I will take you up on that prodding and poking. There's a reason the Church and Adventure Society so readily approved Adabel's request to have me portaled here. Your survival presents a unique opportunity to learn more about the starseed implantation process. Hidden within your body and experiences may be insight that lets us help others. Mr. Asano, you are the only known instance of someone both surviving the rejection and the aftermath. The hope is that we can improve the process by which we extract star seeds from the cult's victims.
I'm sorry, Jason said. You have larger concerns than just me, I know.
You don't need to apologize to anyone after what you went through, Carlos said. But you are right about larger concerns. In many respects, the Builder has orchestrated a war on our world that we didn't even know about until he was winning. Anything we can learn to catch up is essential knowledge.
I'm not sure how much I can help you, Jason said.
Anything we can find out will obviously be excellent, Carlos said with an open smile. First and foremost, though, I am a priest of the Healer. Before anything else, I'm here to help you. Not for you to help me.